Montgomery County. Nah, it's Sandra. Come on.
Okay. I'm Sandra, I'm at it. I don't know. I'm kind of nervous, you know, just like my first time doing something like this. And first and foremost, I want to thank my higher power for picking this topic, you know, because fine, fucked up, insecure, erotic, and emotion. That's just exactly where I'm at. took me a long time to realize that, quote, I thought I was a normal person in society, but I found out that I wasn't. I don't know, I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous September 91, and I didn't surrender y'all until May the 8th of 96. I'm not going to get into my drug law because I guess we all know how to use. But what happened was I got my ass kicked when I was out there. I did a lot of things to get my drug of choice. And I used to go up on a strip, I remember, dressed up. You know, I thought I was, I guess, the queen, you know, a crack, I don't know. But the guys, you know, it's just they looked at me totally different, like, when was I going to work? And I was like, you know, I was at work, you know what I'm saying? And to this day, I had blackouts, and I don't remember what happened to the dress that I used to wear up on the strip. Come to realize that when I came in the room, they told me I had blackouts, and I couldn't remember, you know, things. And I thank God that I made it down here safe and harm on just my 6th year coming down here. And I can say that I ain't hiding from no one. You know, I'm not missing for 3 or 4 days. I'm not wearing the same clothes. I have a job, and I mean something to society today. And I can say people, you know, they don't have to come to me about nothing today about me that I already know about myself. And it took a long time to realize that by doing my step work, matter of fact, this year. And they say what you do in the dark, it does come out in the light. And I had got myself in a situation that I'm not going to get into details about it because we are addicts, and I'm quite sure we're right here in the right place where we need to be at on this topic, fine. And I got myself caught up to the point that it was just like I was using, you know, geeking, you know, going back and forth, and what happened, it caught up with me. Everything that I wrote in my step work came out. I don't know, I have 3 kids, and to this day, my 2 young ones ask me, Mom, why is I constantly keep going to meetings? And I haven't got to the point to tell them at that age, because at that age, they ask a lot of questions, to tell them why Mommy have to keep going to meetings. You know, Mommy has a problem. And she's going to have it to the rest of her life. But I'm going to tell y'all, this disease of addiction is something else. I'm saying it manifests in a lot of areas, especially on my job. You know, I wish my boss was here, you know what I'm saying? Because I can really say she's, you know what I mean? But reality is, I mean, if I don't like that job, I can find another one. It took me a long time to realize that, too. And I'm always picnicking, you know, if she would have did this way, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't be this way. But I know right now it's time for change because doing my step work is telling me now that I have to change some things. And right now, I'm growing up in these rooms. I don't want to grow up, but I have to grow up. And I want to get better. And I got to try to keep the focus off, I guess, everyone else and try to keep the focus on me because I can get caught up with that too easily because I'm an addict. And I like to blame others for my bullshit, you know. But I told this brother that I wasn't going to use up this time, but I really need to because it took a long time coming for me to get to exactly where I'm at, you know. I'm fucked up. Until I dress that inside, outside ain't going to look no better, you know. Took me a long time to realize that because coming in the rooms, people, you know, they judge me from my outside. And I always, like I told y'all on the strip, I always thought I was fine, you know. But I have a lot of work to do on the inside. My self-esteem is kind of low right now because I said what happened. I got myself in a situation. And now I have to rebuild myself up, you know, to the point that I can face people in the rooms in the Narcotics Anonymous. The guilt and the shame, you know, kind of got caught up with my vision. I got cocky, you know, just a lot of things that was happening. I don't know, it's just, I am so grateful that I came down here. At first I didn't want to come, you know, because I was like my significant other was going to be here. And a lot of things were dressed and it was like I was feeling very uncomfortable. But right now I don't feel uncomfortable because I'm right here with my family, you know, and he's a part of NA too, you know what I'm saying? I feel good. I don't know. It's nothing else I want to talk about other than that I'm fucked up, insecure, erotic, and fucking emotional. And I'm going through a whole lot right now. You know what I mean? Because I can say that. I don't know anybody else, but I can really say that today. But it's going to get better. You know what I mean? One day at a time. You know, I'm not in no race. You know what I'm saying? My anniversary is coming up. It'll be 6 years, and I'm grateful. You know what I'm saying? Because if I wouldn't have took that suggestion, they said you need to go back into treatment. I was like, I'm just going to go in there, do my little 30 days. I did 28 days, and I was going to go right back out there. And I can remember treatment. It was like 90 degrees, and I was ready to run, y'all. I was ready to run because that drug was calling me. My mother said, we're going to stick with you, and we're going to stay with you until you go into treatment and get yourself together. And I thank God for her, you know what I mean? Me and her best friends today. I want people to treat me the way I treat them. You know what I mean? If you treat them totally different, you're going to get exactly how you treat them. I mean, a lot of people don't take a heed to that. My heart won't allow me. Every year I come down and bring people from Avery House or from treatment centers down here. And this year, they said give it back, and that's what I was doing. I see these ladies down here today. They're doing workshops, and they're doing things. And I thank God, you know what I mean, that they say keep coming back, keep coming back. More will be revealed. And, you know, and they say, take it one day at a time, and your turn is next. If you stand here or you think you're not, I guess, a part of, or you think your story is totally different, your turn will come. But thanks for letting me share. That's all I want to talk about.
So, I'm kind of excited. My clean date's April the 14th, and I had 12 years come Sunday. So I got some gas, and you know. I'm in service, and I've been coming here for 8 years, you know. I look forward to coming here. Bought some new underwear. I'm in touch. All right. Now, this next brother, here, you know, I like him. Good looking. You know, good looking brothers together. But I'm finer than everybody in here. Yeah. I mean, I'm letting him know, you know, he all right and everything. Topic is fine. I'm fine. They're going to talk about something else. I'm talking about fine like me, you know. All right? Because it's really hard to be this sexy and come to me. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all see me later, I'll tell you how I got this fine. Because this is not my workshop, I'm just secretary. Alright? Okay? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I really love this guy because, you know, I think it's like 6 or 7 months between our clean dates. And, you know, it seems like we are so much alike that the things that he does and, you know, I really like to watch people. And I'm nosy, too. That's the other thing, right? When you nosy, you can really listen to people. Right? When you nosy, you really can. And when you listen to people share their stuff in the meetings and you watch what they go through. And, you know, you just keep watching and you keep watching. You know, spiritually, you'll begin to grow too. You know, and that's a wonderful thing to share. You know, every time I can see him, I can just feel it. We be eating together. All right, but that's enough out of me. That's D.C., that's Courtney, so he came from D.C.
Uh, Good afternoon. I'm Courtney. I'm an addict.
Hey, Courtney.
It's good to be here. I want to ask y'all, first of all, to excuse me. I want to ask y'all to excuse me, first of all, because I'm a little tired. But I want to thank the committee for asking me to come down here and share on this topic. I did have a choice in the matter. I could have shared on another topic. But I chose to share on this topic. And I think one of the reasons is because I remember when I had that feeling of being fine, you know, being all right, you know what I'm saying? And when I was in treatment, this counselor, she asked me how I was doing. And I said, fine. And her back was to me, you know. And she turned around, she said, what did you say? I said, I'm doing fine, you know. She said, come here, come to my office, you know. And she gave me a 12-step book, and she told me to read the second step. And you know, she told me to practice reading that, and then she told me to come back and tell her just how fine I was doing, you know. And so, you know, I realized, and I remember, like, the feeling, right, my first convention I went to. The first convention I went to, man, it was in 1990. It was in Baltimore. And I had some dirty tennis shoes on. I had some cut-off shorts on and I had a T-shirt on. And I'm telling you, I had the time of my life, man. It just blew me away. It was like a spiritual awakening. You know, just an out-of-body experience. You know, I didn't have to be bothered with Courtney, you know. I was finally, for just a fleeting moment, man, I was being myself. And I was having a good time, you know. And people was loving me unconditionally. And it just blew me, you know. And those two occasions, you know, that I vaguely remember when I was fine, you know, really fine. But left up to my own devices, I realized today that, you know, that acronym, man, fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional, you know. And I'm a straight shooter. I share from the heart and not from the mind, you know, because even though I try to pretend that I have this profound education and my, you know, I can, you know, kind of talk with the best, I really can't, you know what I'm saying? I just have what you call defense mechanisms, you know? And I have what you call learned behavior, you know? I know how to mimic, I know how to parrot, you know? I know how to kind of do what I see other people do. And I've been doing that for a long, long, all my life, you know. So coming to Narcotics Anonymous gave me an opportunity, you know, where really what it did, it introduced me to me, you know. And it introduced me to this God who has all power, right? And he reintroduced me to me. And I realized today, you know, even on that topic, fine. You know, I still have, there's still some things about, you know, let me put it like this, right? It's no cure for the disease of addiction. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's an ongoing awakening, you know, you're going to keep awakening on a regular basis, right? You know, or on a daily basis. For me, you know, to come to the program and realize, you know, finally, you know, kind of like take a break, you know, get all, you know, detox. And then, you know, just finally, I'm right back where I left off with me, you know, which was probably a 20-year run, you know. And they telling me to write a biography. And, you know, and they doing groups on me and telling me to wear a sign around my neck, scrub baseboards, you know. And I was ready, though. I was willing, too, you know. And I did whatever I had to do, man, because I was tired. I was very, very tired, man, of living that life that I was living, you know. And I would have ended up on that road whether I picked up drugs or not. Because that's where my life was leading, you know. And when I, you know, when I was addressing those issues about me that I saw that was so fucked up, you know, I used to take risks with my life and put other people's lives at risk. You know, how everything was negotiable. Everything was negotiable. I stayed in so much denial about myself, you know. I was the one who said he would never do this, never do that, you know. And I ended up being the person that, you know, you come to. Because I would negotiate. I didn't, it wasn't, you know, I used to live and live to use, you know. I was suffering. Suffering, man, from the disease, you know. And so even being here, you know, we all know that clean time doesn't equal recovery, you know. We all know that most of us are dressed up garbage cans, you know, dressed up garbage cans, still trying to cover up. And see, a lot of times, really what it is what my sponsor tells me is participation or lack thereof, you know. That what he calls me is a 5%er, you know what I mean? Because I only can manage to do 5%, because the other 95%, you know, I'm still feeding, you know, I'm still having compulsions and obsessions over pompous and fancy things, you know what I mean? So, but the insecurity, oh man, I'm still insecure, man. Matter of fact, you know, Sandra was talking about a little bit about being in denial, you know. And you know how when you get clean and you go to all these meetings and you get in service and you start accumulating friends and, you know, you pretty much start thinking you know some things. Right. You know what I mean? And really what it is you putting stuff on the back burner. You one more time without the use of drugs, forgetting about Courtney. You know, don't want to face Courtney. Don't want to treat Courtney. Don't want to take care of Courtney's issues. And that insecure issue is a real, real big issue with me. You know, because I spent most of my life in a 4x8 cell. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know anything about letting anybody do or be themselves. You know, I only knew about you doing what I wanted you to do, you being where I wanted you to be, you know what I'm saying? And when it did not happen that way, you know, that's when I became neurotic. For real. You know what I'm saying? Because, and you know, and the emotions ties in it too, because, you know, you get the sweaty palms, you know, I start shaking my leg, you know? And I end up being just crazy, man. You know, very crazy, man, over me not being able to identify or be honest. You know, I don't even have to say identify. Just being honest with myself, you know, that I'm an insecure person, man. And the reason why I'm an insecure person is because I never knew how to love myself. You know, I never put myself first. It was always me trying to impress you. You know what I mean? That's all it ever was, man, you know. Everything I ever learned was wrong. Everything I ever did was wrong. I never was a little boy. I never did that little boy stuff, you know, where you play outside on the playground and, you know, I can't even go into it because I ain't do it. You know what I'm saying? I just skipped right into manhood, you know, and I wasn't a man. And I was trying very hard to be one, so I had to act like one, and I had some of the responsibilities of a man, you know. So I kept pretending, you know. You know, you can exchange that expletives fucked up, you know, and you can put fake there, you know, because I used to be fake, you know, because I wanted something for nothing. And it's still, you know, with the disease of addiction being a threefold illness, you know, physically, mentally, and spiritually, right? And you can add the rest of them on there if you'd like. You know, we always go to the extreme with everything anyway. You know what I'm saying? But being, you know, it being a threefold illness, you know, that's a lot of work, man. That's a lot of, you know, looking in the mirror. You know, that's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of step work. It's a lot of honesty. It's a lot of practicing. You know, because once you get honest, right, and you start doing the step work and it start opening you up and guiding you and having this relationship with God, you know what I'm saying, then you get to the truth. And so you have to live that. You have to wear that. I mean, that's you. You can't run from the truth, you know, and that's when it becomes really hard, you know, because it's not negotiable, you know what I mean? It's non-negotiable, man. You have to practice being Courtney. You can't run, you can't hide, you can't make excuses. You know, you can't be wishy-washy, you know. One day I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm hugging everybody, I'm loving everybody, I'm in service for everybody. And then the next day I'm being selfish and I'm stuck on myself and I don't want to be bothered and poor me this and poor me that, you know. So when you think about it, or when I think about it, you know, because I keep the focus on myself, man. I'm the worst person I know. Trust me. You know what I'm saying? I'm the worst person I know, man. And for me, and it's nothing I really believe, right? It's all, for me, it's just a game. You know? It's a game, man. It's all talk. No action. You know, because when it comes to the action part, you know, then I wouldn't still be feeling, acting, behaving the way that I still do, you know. You know how we always like to let everybody know how much clean time we have, you know. And really what we're doing is we letting everybody know how fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional we really are. You know what I'm saying? Because for real, it's freedom. It's freedom and the truth, man. That's really what sets you free. You know what I'm saying? And you have to, or I have to separate myself, man. Once I'm, you know, God exposed me to the truth through the 11th and the 12th step, you know, I have to make a real hard decision, man. Real hard decision. You know, as to whether or not, man, I'm going to walk, you know, in that faith, knowing, man, that I can be me with all who I am, you know, the fucked up part of me, you know what I'm saying, the insecure part of me, you know, because there's no cure for none of it, you know. You can get out of text, you can do all the step work you want. You know what I'm saying? All step work does is allow you to live and breathe with the disease of addiction. That's all. It ain't no cure to nothing. You know, you have to start over just like I did in 1989 when I went to treatment. You know, somebody said that earlier, man. Back to basics. Keep it simple, stupid. You know what I'm saying? And for me right now, I try to just practice some humility and learn more about being humble. You know, because I don't know what God has in store for me, man. You know. And I see a lot of things, even today, that I don't like about myself. You know, I still find things that I don't like about me, man. You know, so it's just like being a babe in the woods. You know, I come to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I've been here a while, you know, but I'm here to get better, you know, with Courtney, because I want to set an example. I don't want my kids, man, to have to go through this. You know, I want to be real with my family, you know, real with my friends, you know, and be honest about who I am, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, that it's easy, but anybody that know me know that I practice that, and I practice it to the best of my ability because, see, before drugs, and I'm going to end it with this, right? Because before drugs, I was homeless. I was helpless. You know, I grew up in foster homes, institutions. I'm talking about from the age of 8 years old. I went to all-boys school when I was six. So this ain't no game for me. This is a matter of life and death for me. And I can't blame it on drugs and alcohol. And I can't blame it on you people. I can't blame it on my mother, my father, or nobody. Because I'm 39 standing before you right now. You know, I take responsibility, you know. I can't blame it on society. You know, I really do want to, though, to be honest with you. It's a fucked up society we live in, man. You know, ain't no real power of examples. You know, you pretty much have to hit a bottom so you can look up to and find you a powerful example, you know. But I'm grateful, though. I'm grateful, man, because I come a long way. I come a long way, man. When I hug somebody today, it's a real hug. I'm hugging you, man. You know what I'm saying? Spiritually, man, I have a connection with everybody that's a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Because I, without you, it's no me. I cannot make it one day at a time without this program or the people in it, you know. So, in ending, being fucked up, albeit that I'm fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional, I guarantee you one thing, I bet you I keep coming back. Thanks for letting me say it.
What? It ain't over. Y'all go. All right. We have like 10 minutes left on the clock, right? By my clock. Right? All right. Outside of, now, the other thing about this wonderful topic is, what if you came to this convention and you want to be at a convention, but you feel like using right now? That's kind of crappy. But you're an addict, and it makes you inadequate or insecure. And you may be a little nervous because you're at a convention with all these addicts to talk about your emotions. This is a good time to do it. Anybody want to share, period, whether you are right or not. Anybody want to share? Come on. You want to share?
I'll share.
My man. Come on. Because I will share. Yeah. I'm trying to help y'all.
Thank you.
What's your name?
My name's Nate.
Hey, Nate.
My name is Nate. I'm an addict.
Hey.
I'm really grateful to be here. I'm from California. And I'm really grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life far beyond my wildest dreams. It's wild to be here, you know. I started planning this trip a couple weeks ago, and it just kind of came together real quick, and I had a few situations getting here, but I'm here now, and because of the fellowship and some friends, you know, I was able to make this dream a reality. One of my obsessions now is conventions. I like to travel to conventions, and you know, I couldn't get 15 miles from my connection's house before I got here, you know, and I don't know, my clean date is July 12th, 1995. I haven't found it necessary to use any mind-altering, mood-changing, habit-forming drugs. I was one of those relapse ranger people. I'd come in here and hang out for like 6 months, and I'd get to step four. And what I would do was I would take my will back. I would take my, see, my life's always been unmanageable, but I would think I could run it. You know, I have no problems telling you I'm an addict. You know, we out on the West Coast, we have this stuff called crystal meth, and it's killing people right now.
No, they got it over here.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, what I've done to stay clean is I got in service right out of the gate. At 30 days clean, I got a GSR commitment, and I've been in service ever since that point in time. That was the only thing that I hadn't done in my previous four attempts at recovery. You know, I was at a convention a couple weeks ago in Sacramento, California, and it was, you know, like I say, I love to travel. I love to experience new people. I like to meet new people. And it's nice to go to a convention where I know only one person. And I know that I'm at home. I know that my family is here. You know, and it's like, no matter where you came from or what walk of life you've come from, like myself, I have this disease that's ticking in my head, man, and it's going to kill me. And I can arrest it at a day at a time. And, you know, steps are a beautiful thing. See, steps for me cure the insanity of my mind. You know, and the fellowship is what I do, what I'm doing right now with you people. That's fellowship. That's where we go and we talk about what we're doing, which is not doing drugs. But the most important part of my program is a spiritual condition. That's the most important part for me. And my spiritual condition has evolved and changed, as have I, since I've been here. You know, I came here with three pairs of jeans and a bicycle. You know, when I got clean, I weighed 126 pounds, man, and I was dead. You know, and I didn't know how to do life, man. My skills were very limited. My social skills were non-existent. It was, what could you do for me or what can I do for you? And it was about drugs. You know, and I'm a responsible, employed, productive, tax-paying member of Narcotics Anonymous today. And, you know, and it's all because of you people, because you people took me by the hand and showed me the way. You know, and I was very scared when I got here. And like I said, my skills were quite limited. I knew how to do dope, you know. That's what I knew how to do. And I was just a nickel and dime guy, man. I was no big guy, you know. I was just a kid that had to stay loaded all the time. And you people told me I could do something different. And I'm grateful to be here, man. Thanks for calling on me.
Thanks, Nate. All right. Okay, we're getting ready to close, but just before we do, what if F means faith? What if F means fun? What if F means fabulous? It could be many things, but you have to find out what it means to you. Can an addict come up and read just for today?